Open to Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. We have seen our Father give us his estimate and profile of a corrupt Bible teacher who is causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that we have learned. Four features and characteristics, two of which are who and what they are. They serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly, their own carnal desires. And their technique, or their methodology, their modus operandi, is by good words and fair speeches. And they, fourthly, deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, what I want to do, we're not going to cover every possible contrary doctrine that corrupt Bible teachers could ever teach, or cover every possible way in which these corrupt Bible teachers can deceive the hearts of the simple. We really only need to recognize that contrary doctrine, when it is believed and put into practice, it ends up with the hearer, the one who is taken in by it, in one of two categories. We're assuming you're a Christian, all right? You're a believer. You have believed that Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. And you have accepted Christ as your substitute redeemer, your own personal savior. And you've done nothing to save yourself. You're completely trusting in him. So you are saved. Now the question is, now what do I do? And what I'm after is that if you're not following along properly in what God's written to you, for you, and about you, this corrupted doctrine is going to deceive the hearts of the simple. And you're going to end up in one of two categories. There's only two possibilities. When a saint is some way failed to be, I'm going to use the expression Paul uses in Romans 8, to be led by the Spirit. And that's not being led by some kind of, you know, you're like somebody once when I was in Walmart, you know, and I've got one thing. I always have just one thing. And I'm in a line behind a lady that has 1,000 things. And then there's a lady behind me, and she taps me on the shoulder, and she says, "The Holy Spirit just led me to witness to you." And I said, "Well, I'm already saved, you know." Some people think the leading of the Spirit is like a divining rod, where you're walking along and it just goes, "Oh, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus." That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. The leading of the Spirit is leading you. It's through a paper trail. He's leading you through the information on the page of God's Word. If a Christian is not led by the Spirit through the curriculum of our godly sonship education and edification, Romans being the first fundamental course of sound doctrine, and when that saint's failed to then walk after the Spirit as you're taught to walk after the Spirit in Romans 8, 1 through 13, by minding the things of the Spirit, in accordance with his education and edification that God the Father and the Holy Spirit provides for him, if that saint, if that believer, that Christian doesn't have the full effectual working of Romans doctrine, and if that saint, that Christian, isn't wearing his armor of light, as we learned in Romans 14, he's going to be ignorant of Satan's devices in connection with phase one of the policy of evil of attacking that message. And I'm only saying this to say you can end up being easy prey for the adversary and his contrary doctrine. And when a saint has fallen victim to that, to phase one of the policy of evil, he's going to end up in one of two categories. You can only be one of two. So that makes it really simple, really easy. And these two categories, they're very easy to find. You have following the book of Romans. Here's Romans on the board. You have two books right after the book of Romans, but they're two the same people, right? First and second, what? Corinthians. Following that is one book called what? Galatians. And that's the end of that first fundamental section of doctrine that Paul gives. So, when you get to Ephesians then builds the superstructure of edification on Romans doctrine. So you've basically got two groups of people following Romans. You've got Corinthians and you've got Galatians. You're going to end up as either a Corinthian or a Galatian in your thinking. If you get caught up in contrary doctrine, you're going to either be a Corinthian or a Galatian. The Corinthians, they have an improper understanding of grace. Actually, they don't understand properly Romans 6, 7, and 8, those three great chapters. And they end up operating upon, if you read 1 Corinthians especially, they end up being involved with and operating upon the wisdom of this world by their squirrely, kooky idea of grace. They end up operating with the spirit of this world. And the Corinthians had a lot of problems with sin in their members. They had a lot of problems with conforming their Christianity to the other religions around them. And we will deal with all of that. But while a great many Christians today fall into that kind of category, my understanding, and it's my understanding, as I look and kind of think about the whole Christian world in general, the body of Christ at large today, I believe the vast majority of Christians fall into the other camp. They're Galatians. And since we got 1 Corinthians coming up right after this book, I'm not going to comment so much on 1 Corinthians, but I do have something I'd like to say about Galatians, and I want to use it to illustrate the kind of deception that phase one of the policy of evil can produce. And that deception that the Galatians fell for, and again, you know me, I'm not telling you that this is the only kind of deception you'll get. There are people who can take Paul's, as I said, Paul's own words and use them against him. Romans 6 being a classic example of that. When Paul talks about being baptized in the Spirit, everybody says, well, that's water. There's no water anywhere around there. It's a dry baptism. But the deception, that's there. It's out there, and it's very real. But by and large, the deception the Galatians fell for is the deception that most of Christianity falls for today, that we are somehow to put our life into practice to God's pleasure and pleasing and honor and glory by in some way operating under the law, operating some way in God's time past program with Israel, whether it's very recent, books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or as far back here as, say, Deuteronomy 32, which I hear a lot of preaching on, that you go, they love Deuteronomy because that's where if you do all these things, God's blessings will just fall all over you and all this kind of stuff. What they fail to tell you, though, is that Moses, when he was writing that, he told Israel, but you're not going to do any of that. This is the law. This whole thing is the law. The law is in operation here. And when I talk about the law, I mean this law here, what is commonly called the law of Moses. And that's how most Christians, whether they are aware of it or not, attempt to put their lives into practice, to please God, to honor God. And Galatians, the Galatians fell for that. They especially have failed to properly understand. They also, just like the Corinthians, they misunderstand three chapters in Romans, 6, 7, and 8. But especially Romans, and I don't have time to do it this way. I'm not going to do it this way. If we went to the book of Galatians, I would, you know, you need to do that to see that. I was just thinking if I could find something really, really quick.